Today we come to week number 5 of our series, Seven Colors of Communion. And you might have seen these Bible study notes at the back, or in the front actually, as you go out. I want to just encourage you to go through these before the sermons, because some of these passages are so dense that it's just hard to understand what's going on Sunday morning if you haven't actually done some preparation before the time. If you are in a care group, they will do this in your care group with people around you. But if you're not in a care group, just go by yourself. Just read through some of this. Get your mind into what's going to be shared. And ask God to help you. Ask God to open your understanding. And He will prepare your heart and your mind for the message on Sunday. We started with the table of the Lord as a table of remembrance, a memorial. And this must be the foundation. When we come to this table, we remember Christ. We eat and we drink in remembrance of Him. And then we looked at this table as a table of forgiveness, a table of mercy. Because it is as we come to this table to remember Christ that we confess our sins, that He cleanses us, gives us mercy, does not treat us as our sins deserve. And then we looked at this table as communion, a table where we have communion with Christ and with each other, where we fellowship with Him and with those around us. We looked at this table as a table of a covenant renewal. When we come to renew our baptismal vows, when we gave our lives to God, to say, Lord Jesus, we will follow You. We will live for You. We renew those vows, those commitments, every week as we come to the table. Today, we will look at the table as a table of nourishment. Bread from heaven. Nourishment not for our bodies, but for our souls. Let us read from John chapter 6. Very well known passage. I'm reading from the ESV translation. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in Me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen Me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and whoever comes to Me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given Me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of My Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about Him because He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except He who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we are so thankful for these words that have been preserved for us through the centuries. We know that when John recorded these words, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to record them accurately. We know that these words spoken by Jesus were words spoken by the Eternal Son Himself. He did not speak these words on his own accord, but he spoke what was given to him by the Father. And so when we receive these words, Lord, we receive them from you. And we pray that through your Holy Spirit, these words would do its work in us, and your word would not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose, Lord, that you've sent it for. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." I am the bread of life. There are two things inherent in that statement that Jesus is making. The first thing that he is claiming, and we see that when he talks about himself as the bread from heaven. The first thing he is claiming is that he was sent by God the Father, that he has come from heaven. He's different from every other human being on the planet. Every human being has been born here, but every human being has been conceived here and is from this world. Jesus is making this claim that he is not from this world, even though he is born in this world. Because the Father has sent him from heaven to this world. That's the first claim that he is making. I am not from here. I have been sent here. I am from heaven. Scandalous claim to make. No one in his right mind would make that kind of claim. I mean, if you and I would say that, someone would probably phone 911 and get the friendly, nice guys with the white jackets to come and take us to a nice place. The second thing that Jesus is claiming is that he himself is bread. He himself is what is needed to sustain life. We know that we have to eat to live. That if we don't eat, we will not live. And when he's talking about bread here, he's not just talking about bread by itself, but he's talking about bread as a category, bread as food, food that is necessary for life. When Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life, he's saying there is no life outside of me. Life cannot exist outside of me because I am the bread of life. Two very scandalous claims that Jesus is making. He is sent from the Father. He is from heaven. Number one. And number two, in Him is the nourishment. In Him is the food that is necessary for life. And we see that so many times in this passage where Jesus is talking about life as eternal life. We know that we can eat bread and we can eat fruit and vegetables and rice and meat and all the good stuff for life in this world. But that will not sustain us for life into eternity. For eternal life, you need eternal bread. To live eternally, you need living bread to sustain you. And the claim that Jesus makes is that He is that living bread. Scandalous claim to be made. Not only is it scandalous, but it is so particular. It is so exclusive. Yes, you can find bread in other places. But no, that bread that you find, where you are looking for nourishment, where you are looking for sustenance and food, that bread will not do for eternal life. You can find meaning for your life in so many things. Some people live their lives for their family. That's where they find meaning. I feel good about myself when I feel significant and I feel meaningful when I have a family that loves me and when I can serve them and when I can see them prosper and get ahead. That's the greatest thing for me. And on Sunday mornings, if my family needs me to take them to soccer games or to hockey games or to basketball games, then that's what we do because that's I'm supporting my family and this is my one and first priority. Some people find their meaning, they find their nourishment, they find energy in their work. I am such a good, fill in the blank. I'm such a good driver. I am such a good secretary. I'm such a good accountant. I'm such a good doctor. I'm such a good lawyer. I'm such a good teacher. That's where I find my energy and my meaning and my significance. That is what energizes me, what feeds me. Some people find it in their leisure activities. I feel alive on the weekend because that's when I can get out. I go hiking, get out there in the mountains. I feel alive when I'm fishing, when I'm on my boat on the water. Whatever it is. What Jesus is saying is all those things might make you feel like you're eating, or like make you feel like you're getting some life, but that is not real life. Real life is only to be found in Him. It is exclusive. And yet, He includes everyone. The gospel is a gospel for everyone. Our God does not want anyone to be lost, but He wants everyone to be saved. It's an inclusive gospel. It cuts across lines of gender. It cuts across racial lines. It cuts across economic lines. It is inclusive. But the way in is exclusive. There is only one way. Jesus makes these statements, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's very exclusive. Scandalous, in fact. People call that the scandal of particularity. The particularity of this person claiming that he is the bread of life. And he is the only way to the Father. And he is the only one that can give eternal life. Those claims, scandalous. Because today, so many people don't like that kind of talk. They like a kind of inclusivity. That not only is about the gospel, or it's about salvation, or it's about eternal life, but an inclusivity as to how we get there. Everyone should be able to get there on their own, right? When we talk about truth, in our generation, people have got this perception that everyone can have their own truth. What you believe is true, is true for you. And what I believe to be true is true for me. And what John and Susie and Dan wants to believe is true for them. We could all have our own truth. When we say that, when we talk about that concept, we understand that not all these truths can be true at the same time. Because some of them are contradictory. But yet, for the sake of inclusivity, we don't want to offend that person and say, my truth is higher than your truth. We don't want to do that. We want to rather say, let's agree to disagree. Let's get along. What is the common denominator? In the same way, we look at faiths. We say, well, you know what? You grew up in that faith. That's good for you. And you grew up in that faith, and you grew up in that faith, and that's all good for you. And if God is a God of justice, if God is a God that we think is acting the way a God should act, then He's going to meet you in your faith, whatever that faith may be. Because if He doesn't do that, we think He's being unjust. But what did God do? What did He actually do in history? He provided the way of salvation. He provided the way to eternal life. He provided the bread of life in a very, very particular way. He chose a man, Abraham. And from Abraham, He made a nation, Israel. And He said that this salvation will come from the Jews, a particular people. Not from some of the great nations that the earth has seen. Salvation is not coming from the Egyptians, or the Mesopotamians, or the Greeks, or the Persians, or the Germans, or the English. From the Jews. Very particular. And in this nation, this Jewish nation of Israel, it came from one particular unwed, unmarried, pregnant girl, Mary. And this particular son was born, and his name was given Jesus. And it's in this particular man that the salvation of all the earth is wrapped up. Scandalous! Why is the way for all the earth, why does it have to run through this man, this Jewish man, the son of Mary, was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Why does it have to go through him? That's the way that God in His wisdom has designed it. That's the way that God in His wisdom has decided it will be. One way. One man. And in him we have to place our faith. If we place our faith in anything or anyone else, we will not have eternal life. We will not have salvation. Because it is only through Him. You might know the story of Naaman, a Syrian general, very successful. But he had one big problem, leprosy. And he said, "What can I do? I've been to all the doctors, I've done all the treatments, and yet I cannot get rid of this leprosy." And there was a servant girl working for him from Israel who said to him, "General, in Israel there's a prophet, Elisha. Why don't you go see him? He's from the real God, the God of Israel, and he will heal you." And so Naaman goes. But he goes with a letter from his king to the king of Israel. And he said, "I'm sending you Naaman, my commander of all my armies, and I want you to heal him." And the king of Israel fell on his back and he said, "What? I can't heal him." You see, healing is very particular as well. It comes from God. God is the one who gives healing. And in this particular case, he gave it through Elisha. So Naaman goes to Elisha. And when he arrives, it says, he stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." That's what he wanted, right? That's the message. So how do you think he responds? It says, "But Naaman went away angry and said, 'I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy.'" That's what I thought. And that's how people are. You know what I think God should do? I think he should give to everyone salvation in whatever faith they wanted and whatever language or creed. He should just make it available in the way that they want it. That's what I think he should do. But what happened? Elisha didn't do what Naaman thought he should do. Then Naaman said, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. You see, he took offense at this particularity. Scandalous. Why does he have to go into this dirty river Jordan that Elisha sent him to? Why couldn't he go into Syria's beautiful rivers? Why couldn't he have healing? Why couldn't he have salvation on his own terms? On terms that made sense to him. Brothers and sisters, so many people struggle with the particularity that is in Jesus Christ. With the very particular way that God has seen fit to bring salvation to us. He was sent from heaven. He is the bread of life. And only in Him will we have eternal life. Luckily for Naaman, the servants around him spoke to him and they had another idea. They said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except
in Israel. So particular, so scandalous. A rock that makes men stumble, and a stone that makes men fall.
I am the bread of life.
Very particular.
When we come to this table, brothers and sisters, we come to the one who is the bread of life. We come in a particular way, because this is the way that Christ has ordained it. This is the way that Christ is giving His life to you and to me. We come by faith. Jesus said, eternal life is to see the Son and to believe in Him. We come to this table. We come believing in this Christ. Believing that He is who He claims to be. Believing that He will do what He told us He will do. Believing that He has cleansed us from our sins. Believing that His death on the cross paid the price that needed to be paid. Believing that forgiveness and eternal life flows through Him. The particular Jesus. We come by faith, believing that as we come to this table and eat of this bread, He is giving His life to us. He is sustaining us. He's giving us the nourishment that we need for eternal life. In this passage, He said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is true food, and My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me, and I in him. As the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on Me, he will live because of Me. There are two parts in that passage. The first part is metaphorical. We understand that Jesus doesn't want us to physically eat His flesh and physically drink His blood. It's a metaphor that He's using. We use metaphors about eating all the time. So, that is a big bite to chew off. Someone asks you to believe a big thing. Or sometimes my wife Lisa would see a cute little kid and she'll say, oh, I can just eat him up. We use metaphors of eating a lot. And this is metaphorical language. Jesus is talking about us believing in Him as us eating Him. He's talking about His own relationship with His Father. His Father in Him and Him in His Father. And He's saying, when you come, when you eat of Me, you are in Me and I am in you. He's bringing those two together. Metaphorical language. Eating Him, drinking His blood, is believing in Him. But the second part is sacramental language. Like manna that came from heaven, given by God, the bread supplied to God's people from the God above. In the same way, this bread on this table was supplied from God above for His people in this place at this time. The particularity of this table causes offense to some. Some people say, I don't have to come and eat this bread and drink this wine. I have Jesus in my heart. I'm good to go. I have salvation. It reminds me a lot of the story that's been told about the man who's married for 50 years. And they said, well, when last did you tell your wife you love her? And he said, well, 50 years ago. As we got married in the church, I said to her, I love you. He said, and if things would change, I would let her know. But nothing has changed. I still love her 50 years later. Why do I have to keep saying that? We come to this table. This bread and this cup is very particular. This is the way that God has told us. This is the way that Jesus has instructed us. Come. I am the bread of life. Come and eat my flesh. Come and drink my blood. Be satisfied. Be satisfied. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Brothers and sisters, there's a mystery here. There's a mystery. Because we know this is not the real flesh or the real blood of Jesus. But we know that as we come in faith, that He is going to give of Himself to us. That He's going to nourish us and sustain us. Because this is what we need. We are not only physical humans, but we are also spiritual. And we need spiritual food, even as we need physical food. Even as the manna was sent from God in heaven for His people to be nourished and to be sustained in the same way He sent His Son from heaven. He is the bread of life. Let us pray. Father God, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You so much, Lord Jesus, that You are the bread of heaven. That You are the bread of life. And that when we eat of You and we drink of You, that we are sustaining ourselves even into eternity. That this living bread would sustain our lives forever and ever. Oh Lord, I pray, I know that there's a scandal of particularity in the way that You have decided to do things. But I pray that this particularity would not cause offense. Lord Jesus, that You would not make people here today stumble and fall. But I pray that our hearts and minds, Lord, would be open to hear from Your Spirit. As we come later today to this table, I pray that You would feed us, that You would nourish us, and that You would grow us. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, who is the only way to the Father, and who is the only way to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.